The Monologue.
Look, I understand that government bureaucracies are bloated, and they seem to just hire a whole bunch of people for the sake of hiring a whole bunch of people. It's almost like they are purposely trying to spend our money frivolously. But let me tell you that when the IRS hires 87,000 new agents, there is a purpose behind it. Now, if you listen to Karine Jean-Pierre, our press secretary for President Biden, as she talks here with Steve Doocy, you might get a different answer than what we would call the truth.
Do you think it's going to be popular when the 87,000 new employees hired by the IRS go around and start auditing people to pay for the Inflation Reduction Act?
So this is focus on those who are corporate wealthy tax cheats that Republicans, congressional Republicans, wanted to defend.
No new audits on anybody making under $400,000 a year.
Very clear. No
new audits on folks making under $400,000 a year. That is, of course, a lie. They know it is a lie, and they're telling it to your face anyway. And as Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, pointed out on Fox News, it's impossible to live in the world in which Karine Jean-Pierre just pointed to, without going after people making under $400,000 a year.
One of the things I think is really important in this case is that the CBO, a nonpartisan organization, Congressional Budget Office, says that 90% of the revenue generated from these new IRS agents will come from people making less than $200,000.
That's you guys. That's a lot of you guys. It's not me. I'm a wealthy person. It's Peyton.
You're a billionaire.
Okay, I'm a millionaire. We don't have to go nuts. But this is going after you. We'd have to believe that we have hundreds of thousands of millionaire and billionaires who are cheating the system in order to buy the line coming from the Biden administration. How many people actually believe that you are not going to be victimized by the IRS as a result of this? Now, as I said, if you're someone who is actively avoiding paying things you know you owe, you should pay. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with them collecting from folks who just owe money, period. I have a problem with the lie. I have a problem with the lie. And you should too, because they are doing it without concern for you, because there's going to be someone out there who thinks they're going to get by, only to be caught off guard when that IRS letter comes to their door. And at the time that that happens and folks are upset, the Democrats will go out there and pretend that somehow Republicans are to blame, and then the media will go ahead and push that narrative as well. Not Fox, not Newsmax. Ellie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
I'm assuming you would not support this particular piece of legislation, but here's a question. There's a lot of different stuff in it. Is there anything in there, either in concept or even just specific, that you would support if it was a standalone bill?
Oh, standalone bill. I mean, yeah, this is what we need to get back to. I think people are sick and tired of all the extra, extreme pork that they put in everything. I mean, look at Patty Murray's bills. She's only passed 9 out of her 551 sponsored legislation. You know why? Because she puts extreme pork in there that can't pass. I mean, people are ready just to solve the problems that we're facing every day. I joke, only 30-year career politicians would think that spending more money is going to solve inflation. I mean, Patty Murray's never had to stand on her own 2 feet over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not good for our country right now. I mean, Joe Biden, Patty Murray is just lockstep, rubber stamp. They've driven us into a recession after driving us to record inflation. So it's hurting millions of American workers and families.
She's clearly making this about, and Democrats, to be fair, are making it about Republicans being too extreme. They're trying to tie this to President Trump, and undoubtedly they'll point to the raid on his home, not as an alarming abuse of power, but see, this shows you he's corrupt. And if you give Republicans power, you're just giving MAGA Republicans power. How much of that do you anticipate truly being a part of the conversation in Washington state? Because I do think clearly the Roe v. Wade issue resonated a lot more here than people realized.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I have more messaging and stuff coming out on the abortion issue. I've been very clear politically too on you know, that I wouldn't support a federal ban, that sort of thing. But what's happening now, you know, I honestly think people are tired of the partisan politics. And they're tired of this fear wedge. You know, the Democrats only survive if they can.
That truly is an investigation. And we know that right now, Democrats definitely will not investigate. Patty Murray certainly won't call for it. But if we were to deliver you to the Senate, you would at least be a part of the push to get some answers.
Absolutely. We need transparency.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's a lot of questions to be answered. And every American should be furious.
As I look at the voter turnout for this primary, specifically the expectations for Republicans, it feels like, and you can tell me what you think on your end with your data, that Republicans did not turn out in the numbers that we had expected, and independents maybe haven't sided yet with Republicans. We saw that in the 10th congressional district. It's kind of hard to see in the 3rd as well as the 8th just because so many votes were being split. When you look at the data, obviously you didn't perform the way you wanted to perform because you want to get more votes, but you knew you were going to be behind at least a little bit. Were you a little shocked at the numbers?
You know, not at all, because I think it's important for people to remember that when I got into this race 16 months ago, I had zero name recognition. Yep. I was a nobody, an outsider. No one knew who I was. And in 16 months, you know, to receive over 33% of the vote with 17 other candidates is encouraging to me. Like that's we will be able to accomplish more in our next 3 months because of the work of the last 16. And another point that's not often brought up, especially in the primary, is I've raised over $8 million. Mm-hmm. I am funded by the people of Washington State. And I think it's important to note, you know, I'm across the country. Our campaign is raising more money than a lot of other races, and we're in Washington State. So that is very encouraging to us. Gives us the opportunity. You know, we're going to be rolling out our policy here in the next 3 months, more policy initiatives. We're going to be starting to make our case and share our story across Washington State, and we're funded to do that.
And the one thing that we know is the more people that Tiffany gets in front of, the more voters realize that there is an actual option to the incompetency of Patty Murray.
Yes.
And as much as she has $8 million, she needs more. Because this is an expensive this is an expensive race.
Yes, it is.
SmileyForWashington.com. Go there now. It's all spelled out. SmileyForWashington.com. This is a very winnable race, but we just got to make sure that she has the support and funds to do that. SmileyForWashington.com. Tiffany Smiley, my friend, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. Thank you, Jason. Have a great day.
You as well. Now this.
The interview.
It is now official. Jaime Herrera Butler has conceded, sending Joe Kent to the general election. It's generally considered a safe seat for Republicans, but obviously Joe is not going to sit out the general. He's going to be campaigning his tail off, and he joins me now. Joe, first of all, congratulations on the big win.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And in the end, it really did come down to a concern that you had in the past, we had talked about in the past, of it's going to be tight because you've got Heidi St. John in the race, which is going to pull some Republican voters who almost certainly would have went to you. When you look back at the election, what did you learn in this primary race?
Well, you know, if you look at the way the election broke down, if you look at how many people voted for me, voted for Heidi St. John, voted for Vicky Kraft, number one, I'm very grateful that I pulled ahead and all that. But this is a very conservative district. I mean, people have described this district before as purple. that just doesn't even stand up. If you look at, I mean, even a lot of the Jaime Herrera Butler voters, we are deeply Republican. So, yeah, obviously, especially with the general primary, it's not easy to win a primary. And that's why we work so hard. And I had a great team, and I'm very grateful. But I think the biggest lesson coming out of this is, hey, we are very conservative and we can be a very powerful voice on the national stage if we unify. And that's what we're doing right now.
And as conservative as the district is, I know, as I said in the intro, it's not like you're going to just coast into the general and not really work. So what is the game plan for the next few weeks?
Yeah, no, we have a very serious opponent, Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She did a pretty impressive job of consolidating the Democrat vote and getting on the ticket. So the plan is to continue to reach out to everybody who's a conservative, who's a Republican, to really get us unified. Jamie Hura Butler, she conceded, which I'm really grateful for. Heidi St. John wrote a great concession and a great endorsement of my candidacy. So we're really going to consolidate everybody. But then I also really want to start reaching out to independents and to Democrats that just know that our country is heading in the wrong direction, whether it's inflation, whether it's the national security state, you know, going after and raiding President Trump's home. We're not in a good spot right now as a country. And I think there's some very real conversations to have. And I want to have those with people who are maybe skeptical of Republicans, maybe skeptical of somebody who's endorsed by President Trump, because I think we have a lot to offer them. So if they're willing to have that conversation, I really want to extend my hand to them.
And, you know, the good news is it's really easy to respond to what the strategy is going to be from the Democrats, because we all know it. They've been doing it in the state for all of the races, which is basically to say the other side is too extreme. In fact, in an interview with KGW Television, Glusenkamp Perez said this.
Defeating Joe was why we got into this race in large part. I mean, this is not someone that can adequately or effectively represent this district. Joe is an extremist.
Not only are you an extremist, I believe she said that you are a white supremacist. So what is your response to that?
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate, but it's not surprising. I feel like as conservatives, we get called white supremacists, white nationalists so much now that it's really easy to miss. Like, I think I've sort of become accustomed to it. But it's I find it very, I mean, when I think about it, though, I do get pretty offended by it. I mean, I served the country for a little over 20 years. I deployed to combat with people of every single race, creed, you know, all great Americans. They put their lives in my hand. I put my lives in their hands. So the whole white nationalist nonsense, I think, is just trite. And really, there's real things to discuss. And it just shows that Democrats, they don't want to discuss the issues. Marie doesn't want to discuss the fact that Joe Biden's destroying our economy and strangling the people of the district and the country every single day with what he's doing with his energy policies and the economy. Everything from the out of control situation on our southern border. Like, Democrats have nothing to run on, and this is why they're, you know, at the national level, weaponizing the national security state. And then, you know, if you're Marie Glusenkamp Perez, the best thing you can do is just call the other guy racist.
Yeah, and it's also why they're trying to redefine certain words. And even earlier today, President Biden comes out with the inflation numbers, certainly better than what they were last month, but they're still near those 40-year high. And he said that there was 0% inflation in July. That's not what the report actually said.
Right. I mean, they're just doing this entire, it's a combination of gaslighting and then just Soviet era style propaganda where they're just going to put out their talking points. And then you're just expected to say, oh, OK, I'll just go along with whatever this regime is saying. And that's unfortunately what a lot of the Democrats are doing right now. So they're in a very hard spot with their policies. They really have no policies to run on. And this is why I want to talk policies. But, you know, unfortunately, she just wants to name call.
Well, let's talk policy. We're talking with Joe Kent. He is running for Congress in Washington's 3rd Congressional District. Let's talk specifically about inflation. What needs to be done in order to get the situation under control?
A lot of systemic things we have to do, but really number one is we have to get back to being not just energy independent, but a net exporter of energy. Look, I mean, there's been major problems with the economy since 2008. That's a bigger, broader conversation. But really, when Biden came in, he killed off the Keystone XL pipeline. He stopped export horrid drilling. That destroyed our energy independence. And ever since then, the economy has taken a massive nosedive. So I think we have to use the appropriations process. We have to use the budget offensively and just tell Biden very plainly on day one, we're not signing off on the budget until you reverse your energy policies, because right now what's happening in the economy is completely and totally self-inflicted. So that's step one, is to get the American people some relief at the gas pump. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, obviously, if you were in office right now, you would be voting on Friday on the Inflation Reduction Act, which doesn't actually reduce inflation. What would is there anything in that bill? Because it covers, to your point, it covers policy around energy, or at least climate change. It also covers issues around health care and taxes. Is there anything in there that you would support if it was just a standalone bill?
You know, I haven't seen too much of that. There's good concepts in there, like, yeah, you know, fixing health care, obviously. I think tax, I mean, they keep talking about this tax relief for small businesses, but really businesses even more. And the energy issues, this whole the green energy scam that they're trying to run, that's a payday for the Chinese Communist Party. It hurts the American people. So right now, just looking at that bill, there's concepts that obviously everybody can support and get behind, but the way that the Democrats are trying to turn every single piece of legislation into a massive pork barrel, which is just, you know, a combination of corporate welfare and the Green New Deal, I just got to say no.
Well, and it also just doesn't quite make sense where you have right now in Washington State the movement from folks on the left to remove the lower Snake River dams, which is how we get clean carbon-free energy. And in this particular case, I think it accounts for like 7 or 8% of our energy here in Washington State. But that's clean energy that's actually helpful for us that we could, in fact, lean on.
Yeah, it's insanity. I mean, the first time I heard someone talk about taking out the dams, I thought they were kidding. I thought it was a parody. But really, like you said, this is like actual clean, sustainable, green energy that works very well. And we're blessed because we have the Columbia River, the Snake River, and they want to get rid of it. But meanwhile, they want to talk about these solar panels. They want to talk about electric vehicle charging stations. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's always America last with these guys. So, I mean, I'm all about green energy as long as we produce it here and as long as we're not forcing a transition off of what our works.
Yeah, and it sounds like what you're basically saying is that we need a diversified set of tools when it comes to energy, as long as it's coming here and actually supports American jobs and American and the American people. But also, it sounds like what you're basically saying is once we have the technology that actually, like, let's use solar panels, for example. Clearly, the technology does not exist to the point of relying on solar energy. But if it did, right, I imagine you would support it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is we've been through transitions in technology before. The second the automobile was invented, we didn't just stop riding horses. You know, it gradually phased out. And so the same thing. But the way that everything with the green agenda, it has to be done now, and it's destroying economies. I mean, look what's going on over in Europe with the farmers over there. I mean, there's major issues with forcing this transition, and the Democrats aren't very good at looking at trends. They're not very good at looking out for our country. So we have to safeguard against this, do what's right for the American people.
Joe Kent is running for Congress. There's going to be a lot of attacks against him as this extremist for Washington's 3rd Congressional District. He, of course, is not. Make sure you're supporting him. Make sure you get out the vote. Make sure if you know people who live anywhere from Battleground to Vancouver that they are voting. JoeKentForCongress.com is the website. Joe, thank you so much. Congratulations again, and good luck in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much, Jason. I appreciate it.
Now this.
The Jason Rant Show.
Jason Rant has followed that in detail. He's a radio host in Seattle. He broke this story. He joins us now.
Never shy of his opinion, Jason. Definitely letting you know how he feels about that.
Wow. You laid that down.
Long Form, presented by Northgate Rare Coins and Precious Metals.
A group of South Sound mayors have written a letter asking for some help. Some help on an issue that continues to plague their communities. The surge of violent crime. And not just violent crime. Crime in general is going up. We know why. We know what needs to be done. No one seems to be all that interested in fixing things. One person who hopes to fix things, not just as a mayor of Federal Way, but hopefully with your help, our future King County prosecutor. Joining me on the line is Mayor Jim Farrell. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
Was this letter that was written political? Was the intent here to earn some political points?
Well, absolutely not. I would say my colleague mayors actually drafted the letter and really were driving the bus on this in regard to getting it started. You know, I'm running my own campaign and it's completely separate apart from that. But these issues that affect the safety of our community are really occurring at the same time that I happen to be running for King County prosecutor. So, you know, these are things that we have demanded. We have had repeated conversations with the executive and the county prosecutor and our legislators, and no one seems to be listening.
Yeah, and everyone seems to acknowledge that you guys have been all fighting for this for a very long time. I will say this, though. It might not have been political in the sense of the timing of this. It is political, right? Because at the end of the day, there are political solutions because they're based in – the reason why we're having a surge in certain kinds of crime is because of politicians passing certain bills.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about this the other day. You know, the whole so-called, Blake fix, from the legislature was completely unnecessary. All they needed to do at the state legislative level was add one word to the current drug law to fix it, which was they knowingly possess. And instead, they used that court decision really as an umbrella, as an excuse to really put in what is de facto legalization. And so that happened, down in the legislature. And now we're having situations down at the King County Jail in which they're understaffed by at least 100 officers and mandatory overtime for at least 4 days a week for our officers, for the jail officers. And we really have a situation in which they're methodically closing down jail space. And so, yeah, these are happening at a public policy level, by elected individuals that are, really not responding to the safety concerns of the community.
I believe it was Dow Constantine's office that put out the statement saying that you guys are being you are exaggerating the scenario, the problem, that it's not as bad as you guys claim. Now, we talk about on the show how it very clearly is as bad as you guys claim, if not worse. So if they view this in the King County Executive's office as purely political, why should we then think it's going to result in any change? Should we?
Well, let me start by saying this. It is an absolute not an understatement what's happening. I actually was at the board meeting for the jail officers and their guild about 5 weeks ago now. And the new director of the King County Jail was there. And they I had to wait till that was all done before I could talk to them about seeking their endorsement, which I did receive. And during the course of that meeting, I learned, and I'm glad I was there for that, that they are literally having officers between shifts because they're so understaffed and because many of those officers have to work mandatory, overtime 4 days a week. Their jail officers are literally sleeping in jail cells between their shifts because they're so exhausted on the way home. Now, what he was doing, it's a classic deflection, right? They only had to close the jail outright in the Seattle jail for an 8-hour period 2 weeks ago over the course of a weekend. And he's saying, well, that only happens once, and that's an exaggeration. What's really happening is that the King County, the Norm Mailing Regional Justice Center down in Kent has been closed to booking for all South King County agencies. And Seattle is the only one, and they are still under COVID protocols. So, no, if anything, we're understating the crisis that is going on. This is the other thing, too, Jason, and a lot of people don't realize. There are 5,000 cases in the felony cases in the backlog that include 230 homicides and 500 sexual assaults. So there's a crisis in criminal justice.
There absolutely is. We're talking with Jim Farrell. He's the Federal Way mayor. He's also a candidate for King County prosecuting attorney. As we turn to that contest, we saw a recent poll by the Northwest Progressive Institute. Not a great poll for either you or your opponent in Lisa Manion, at least initially. No one knows who they're going to vote for. 83% were all like, I don't know. But then
wide open.
Right. I mean, so then they asked a follow-up question where they basically said, who do you support after you read this information about who they are? And I want to read what Lisa Manion wrote, because after this, she comes out ahead of you. She said, or this is how they prescribe her campaign or describe it. Lisa Manion is the current chief of staff of the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, where she has spearheaded project aimed at protecting public safety, reducing racial disproportionality, strengthening victim services, and holding repeat perpetrators accountable. By the way, this does not mean any of this is true. That last statement we know is not necessarily true. She also oversees a workforce of nearly 600 employees and an annual budget of $80 million. So once they asked that question, 41% of those who answered said they would support her, which is about double what they said for you. What's your response to that statement describing Lisa Manion?
Well, this is a classic push-pull, and it clearly doesn't reflect actually her actual experience. And the background that they put for me, really was not sufficient, was not fully – it's a classic what they call push-pull.
Yeah.
Here's the situation. Most people don't know this. Many people do not know this, but they will when this campaign's over. My opponent has never tried a criminal case. She's running to lead an office of trial attorneys of – hundreds of prosecutors, and she has never once in that time tried one criminal case. I, on the other hand, have tried hundreds of them and handled thousands of them because I was a prosecutor for 19 years, a real prosecutor in a courtroom. I don't think she's ever tried any case. And
why is that part important? And I ask that because I want to be fair. They said the exact same thing about the current Seattle city attorney. And I supported her, and I wanted her because, you know, it's about the ideas. Isn't the real issue here that Lisa Manion is just an extension and, if anything, a further expansion of what Dan Satterberg is currently doing?
Yeah, there's that. But here's the situation. She doesn't know what she doesn't know. I mean, if you have never tried, it would be the equivalent of somebody in your business who's just been a producer or you know, some sort of a station manager, walking in and doing your job every day. And just think of all the nuances that you pick up, you know, sexual assault cases, domestic violence cases, homicides. They have their own language. They have their own, you know, science to them. And if you've never stepped in a courtroom to advocate for those things, how in the world are you going to be connected to the criminal division to be able to do that? But secondarily, I think you're absolutely right. The failed policies of the Satterberg administration, and that includes, you know, deprosecution and the launch of a juvenile justice program, justice in quotes, without any kind of accountability, without no case numbers, judges, checkbacks, without any notice to the cities whatsoever. This would be a continuation. In fact, Jason, this is what nobody knows except a very few number of people. But I'll tell you and your listeners, this RCP program that they launched for juveniles, that again has no case number, no judge, no checkback, they're going to launch that for adults, and they're in the process of doing that now.
Explain so that right. program for the folks who don't remember. We talked about this early on, but it effectively says there are going to be certain crimes they're just not going to charge for, and instead they'll continue to do this restorative justice.
Yeah, this whole, you know, restorative justice. And, it sounds good, right? I mean, we want people to be restored. We clearly want people not to continue in criminal conduct. However, the answer is not what they're doing with this RCP, Restorative Community Pathways. Instead, what they're going to do with cases like residential burglary, commercial burglary, car theft, unlawful possession of a weapon, a gun, bringing a gun to school, robbery, felony assault, all those are eligible for this program. And what it means is that a juvenile that gets referred to this program will not see a judge, not get a case number, never come before any kind of judicial officer, get referred to a private company that's receiving taxpayer money, and then they never hear the prosecutor's office or anybody ever hears from that offender again unless there's another criminal offense. So they call this a diversion program. I call it a look in the other way program because that's what it is.
Well, and it's effectively legalizing certain crimes, right?
Right, exactly.
How close is that from becoming a reality?
Well, here's what happened, and I remember this, that they launched this program, and it had been in effect for 2 months before we found out, of the we being the cities that represent over a million people, we found out by accident. Now, I was in a meeting where we were trying to do exactly what we're trying now, which is to address violent, you know, gun-related crime, and we were in a meeting with the executive and the prosecutor and their senior staffs. And I said, hey, I hear you guys are thinking about RCP. When are you going to launch that? And after I had asked several times, what the executive's office finally says, it's been in effect for 6 weeks.
Yeah, which explains why that you're seeing so much crime. Yeah. But I meant for the adults.
Well, I think they're in the – my understanding is, here's what I know. We don't have a firm date. We know that the leadership of the criminal division is reaching out to individuals who want to stand at a podium as they're about to roll it out. So its release is imminent.
Wow. Fun times ahead for King County, but I can't say I'm shocked.
No, it's just really unacceptable. And I think that a lot of people, they want to live their lives, raise their family, or raise their kids, live their lives. But this is really, really impacting the ability of people to enjoy their lives and their community. And they should be able to live, fear-free.
Well, hopefully you will be able to take over this office and undo the messes that are being created right now, all in the name of social justice, which, of course, this does not provide any justice ultimately for the quote-unquote marginalized communities that they pretend to care about. They're the ones that are disproportionately impacted by crime. And we're supposed to ignore all of that information and just pretend that what's being done here because of the color of someone's skin who happens to be committing a crime, well, that about does it because the criminal justice system is racist. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I got to tell you, I was at a forum with my opponent recently, and she kept referring to the criminal legal system. She refused to say justice system. And there is a move. You got to listen very carefully to what these folks are saying. I mean, hundreds of jury trials I used to have. if you listen carefully, you can really hear what people are saying. And when she's talking about the criminal legal system, they've really removed, in large part, the justice from the system. And then that's going to get restored.
Oh, boy. Okay. Jim Farrell is running for King County prosecuting attorney. Please, please, please make sure you spread the word that he is the only choice that is the right one for King County. Of course, we'll continue to reach out to Lisa Mannion. I'm happy to talk to her if she wants to come on and face some questions. Jim Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason. Take care. Bye-bye.
Now this.
The Jason Rant Show.
Let's bring in our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rantz. Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rantz is in focus now.
Jason Rantz, thank you for your reporting on that.
The quick hit.
This is such a funny story. Oh, and it's so embarrassing. You almost kind of want to just cringe as you're watching this ad by Senator Michael Bennett. He is running this new campaign ad in Colorado, and he's running for re-election, and he wants to show folks that he's not just some wealthy businessman. He's actually an outdoorsman. This is his life, his blood. This is what he's all in for, supporting the environment, getting out there and fishing. And so in this ad, it's called Real Focus, and real is spelled R-E-E-L. He's out there with an unidentified voter, and it is, well, just listen.
We all know what happens when a senator goes to Washington. Special interests get their hooks in them, and they get caught in the mess. But not Michael Bennett. He's always focused on Colorado. He's leading the fight to defend our way of life, protecting our public lands, promoting forest and watershed health, and supporting businesses like mine.
I'm not a Democrat.
But I know Michael doesn't take the bait from Washington. Oh. He works for Colorado.
I'm Michael Bennett. I approve this message.
Oh, wow.
And I caught that fish.
He caught that fish. He caught that fish because he is a seasoned veteran when it comes to fishing. Except, of course, he's not. Because according to a report on Fox News, he bought a 24-hour fishing license in order to shoot the ad. That's funny. And it shows you how much of a fraud he actually is. This is a total fraud. Now, according to Axios, he purchased a 24-hour license just for the day of filming. According to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website, per Fox News, there are several options for Colorado residents seeking to purchase a fishing license, including a one-day, five-day, or annual pass. Now, if you are someone who is an avid fisherman and really wants to portray yourself as one, when you have the annual pass, now maybe he is thrifty, that he doesn't spend enough time in Colorado because he's a sitting U.S. senator. He wants to spend more time in D.C. passing bill, which he currently doesn't do, but let's pretend it. Okay, maybe I could see you getting a five-day license a few times, but no, that's not what this is. He got a one-day pass because he is a fraud. He is an absolute fraud. And do you think he has any clue how to even fish? Fox News reached out to Bennett's campaign to get a statement on this particular issue. Of course, he did not respond. The reason why this is important has nothing to do with whether or not Michael Bennett is a good senator. It's about whether or not Michael Bennett can be trusted. If he's willing to lie on something so simple like this, what else is he willing to lie about? I think it's so incredibly important for politicians to be authentic. We spoke with Joe Kent this hour. We spoke with Tiffany Smiley this hour. They are authentic. I've spent time talking with them. I spent time hanging out with them, Tiffany in particular. What you hear on the radio, what you see in ads, what you see in interviews, they're the real deal. Now, maybe some people don't like that. Maybe it turns some people off. I don't know anyone who could be turned off by either of them. They're just really nice people. Matt Larkin is the exact same way. Matt Larkin is brilliant and one of the nicest people I've ever met. That's authentic, and they don't try to be something that they're not. The unfortunate reality with folks like Michael Bennett, and maybe this is a reflection of the Democrat Party, because he's wealthy, he might seem distant or unapproachable to some voters within the Democratic Party who look at wealth as something to be ashamed of. We don't look at it that way. Not on this show. Now, while there are some nuances to the conversation, wealth generally will mean you have found a way to be successful. Not always, right? Sometimes you win the lottery in life or the literal lottery. I mean, in life, meaning, you know, parents will pass down a lot of money. You can be incompetent. Sure. But the people who have reached that place of wealth generally do so because of a personality of characteristics that they hold that give to them a drive that makes it so that they have to win. They have to perform. I don't know that about Michael Bennett. I will presume, just for the sake of argument, that that is him. Why he has to be ashamed of that and have to show that, oh, I'm a guy you can get a beer with or go fishing with. It bothers me a lot.
The Last Rants.
And with that, and I view that, I view it through the same lens, my job. And I think all of us should view life through this same lens of being authentic. Whatever that happens to mean to you, because certainly it can mean different things to different people. But being authentic for me means be who you are and don't be ashamed to be who you are. Now, if you're a bad person, and believe me, we all know bad people, like just evil people. We all know those kinds of folks. We talk about them often on the show. You don't have to be authentic. You need to get help. And when you are being authentic and you realize that you have some faults, either with a personality or habits, then at least you can address them. But when I say be authentic, I mean, don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to front. I think do the kids still say that? Don't try to do that. Don't try to pass yourself off as something you're not, because I guarantee you, the vast majority of people know when it is you're doing that. We know. We know it instinctively. We know that there's just something not right. And we have every right to call it out, and we have a duty to call it out. So whether it's in your personal life, like when you're out on a date, whether it's at work, be your authentic self. And if you are concerned that your authentic self might turn some people off, well, guess what? You can work on whatever it is you need to work to change what it is about your authentic self that you think will turn people away. And that's The Last Rants.